And after all these years, is it possible that there's a major story out of the Civil War that we haven't heard? Well, the answer is a resounding yes as we learn about Winnie Davis, daughter of the Lost Cause.
Of course, this weekend, the 150th anniversary or the commemoration of the Battle of Atlanta in that war. And with us today is Heath Hartage Lee, author of Winnie Davis, Daughter of the Lost Cause, as Bill mentioned, a biography. And Heath, nice to have you on the program today. Welcome in.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. How did we miss Winnie Davis? Who was Winnie Davis?
Well, Winnie is such an interesting figure. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, the former capital of the Confederacy, and always kind of knew about her. Her portraits were all over town. And she has this very sad kind of look on her face. So I got very intrigued by that and sort of dove into this and did my thesis in college on her. But Winnie was the youngest daughter of Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy. She was beautiful, smart, well-educated, sent to Germany after the war. So people really didn't know about her till she came back and became known when she was about 21 as the daughter of the Confederacy. She was named that by Confederate veterans, and she became a symbol of the Lost Cause after the war. So she was born in 1864, right at the end of the war.
Okay.
But then, as a young woman, sort of became a symbol of this cause that she didn't really herself understand.
Well, and in that, not quite understanding that, as she went on to live her life as she saw fit, and falling in love with the man that she chose to fall in love with, that caused a bit of a stir with folks who had dubbed her with that title.
Oh, definitely. This was definitely a Romeo and Juliet, and like the last person on earth that the Confederate veterans wanted her to pick, and her own family was also sort of taken aback. It was sort of a secret romance that was under wraps, and they had met in New York through friends of her parents, actually. Fred Wilkinson, who was the grandson of a very famous abolitionist. So you can imagine this didn't go over well in the South at that time, post-war.
We were talking yesterday a little bit about this, Heath, and that is that the Civil War has so many different things in history. And somebody called up and brought in that out of the Civil War, maybe, you know, you look at the link between the Civil Rights Act and you look at so many things that came out of the Civil War. Do we kind of pigeonhole the history of the Civil War, do you think, in some of your research? Do we as Americans pigeonhole it into one thing now when it is so much more and has so many other caveats to it?
I completely agree with that. I think it's been very pigeonholed. And for instance, I'm a women's historian. This is women's history, which we really don't hear enough about, particularly during the Civil War. And Winnie is really between the Old South and the New. So she's born in the Civil War, but she's really a Reconstruction era figure as well. She's got her foot in both eras. And nobody really knew, you know, no one's ever written about her until now. And her story is so important. And I think also we don't look at the families involved, like the Davis family, where you just have a similar family to actually to Abraham Lincoln. They lose all these children. Everyone, you know, dies. Everyone has this very tragic story. So I don't think we look at people like Jefferson Davis as people either. What was going on in their family life? There's so much there that isn't explored. I think the battles and the military angles are very well explored, but we don't really look at women and families as much as we should. So I found that part very fascinating.
Let me just add real quick, Bill, that in our city here, there is a Longstreet Society, which is James E. Longstreet, General James E. Longstreet from the Civil War, one of Lee's confidants. And you know, I'll say this: I don't go to all their meetings, but the things that they have brought to light in his history for this area, it has been really instrumental in looking at all these different facets. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Those are good points. And there were women that played quite a role in his life as well, and what he did coming back as a business person and then kind of finding himself not being liked by Southerners or Northerners because he like Lee, wanted to see the country reunite and continue on. So fascinating stuff. It really is.
He got caught between both sides of it.
You're right.
Yeah, you're right. Our guest this morning is Heath Hartage Lee, the author of Winnie Davis, Daughter of the Lost Cause. And Heath, I'm curious, when you did research for this book, you got a chance to look into a lot of letters and personal items of Winnie Davis. Was there something in there that jumped out at you that was just surprising that you maybe thought you wouldn't see there?
Oh, that's a great question. There are several things, and this was about a 20-year journey. I was a was and still am a museum professional and have young kids, and so I kind of had to do this in between life going on. But I did find a diary from Italy that came up at auction. I didn't personally buy it, but the Museum of the Confederacy in Richmond bought it. And it was a diary of her journey to Italy with Fred, her fiancé from the north, and they were pretty much unchaperoned a lot of the time. They went with Joseph Pulitzer and his wife Kate. This is of Pulitzer Prize fame. They were their so-called chaperones, and Joe was almost blind. Kate had, was having an affair with another man at various points, and so I wouldn't really call it a chaperone trip. This was very unusual in the 19th century, very against all the things you would think. Jefferson Davis, who actually had died at this point, but his widow Verena would have allowed. So I thought the diary was fascinating. It had all Winnie's sort of her viewpoints about what was going on, about relationships and about what she and Fred were doing in Italy. So that was fascinating. And the other piece was a family member of Fred Wilkinson, the fiancé, came forward with a memoir from his family about their side of the story. And I don't want to spoil it for readers, but they were not very happy with Verena Davis, who was Winnie's mother, and felt like she had interfered in the match. So it was wonderful to have sources from both North and South. Neither of these sources had ever been seen before, written about before. So that was really, really exciting. And then the Davis family also gave me access. The Hayes Davis family, who are the descendants of Winnie's sister Maggie, gave me all kinds of wonderful letters to look at between the sisters and various family members that were fascinating. So I really had access to sources that other scholars haven't seen.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating read. I want to say thank you in advance on behalf of my mother, who is a huge Civil War. She loves books about the Civil War. She loves to read, and she's going to love this book. And we want to find out where people can pick up the book.
Yes, indeed. They can pick it up. Amazon carries it, Barnes & Noble. Amazon, of course, online. Barnes & Noble in selected stores and online. Potomac Books, which is a division of University of Nebraska Press, my publisher. You can go to Potomac Books online and also order it there. So it's widely available.
You're living in Iowa now, is that correct?
Indeed.
And spreading Southern hospitality. Snow on the ground. There you go.
Hey, well, yikes.
I want you to know that it's 61 degrees here in North Georgia. But anyway,
I'm feeling just very nostalgic for the South.
Well, you're spreading the salty ham out there and caramel cupcakes and other things we read from your website. So thanks for that. But kind of interesting, you have Jeb Stuart IV in a foreword in the book. Is that right?
Yes. Jeb is an old family friend. I just adore him. He's wonderful. And when I told him about this project, he wanted to help. He's wonderful, and so it's so interesting himself. His family, as you know, General Jeb Stuart, is such a dashing figure, and he also appears in the book. So Jeb very graciously wrote a foreword to the book about the connection between Winnie and Jeb, which is interesting because Jeb dies right as Winnie is being born, General Jeb. There is a connection there.
And then you marry a guy by the name of Chris Lee. So, boy, this is all interconnected here with you, I'm telling you, Heath.
Oh, yes, and his family always claims to be descended from Robert E.
Of course.
Lee.
Yes, they should.
I'm really
sure
about that.
Well, don't look at it. If that's not going to work out.
Right. I just am like, yeah, whatever. And I worked at Stratford Hall, Lee's birthplace. So, you know, there's some good connections.
Sure. Here you go. Well, if you're from a great town in Richmond, worked there for a while, it's a great place. It really is.
And thank you. I do love Richmond. It's a wonderful, historic, and fabulous place with great caramel cupcakes.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think those caramel cupcakes were there a few years back. But anyway, thanks for being with us this morning, Heath. Hope you have a great success with the book. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Well, thank you. I so appreciate you having me on.